Let me bring us into some hardware and systems territory, because there are several stories today that individually look niche, but together paint an interesting picture of how the underlying infrastructure of computing is evolving. Start with the top 500 list announcement from ISC 2026. There's a new number one supercomputer. The write-up from Chips and Cheese gives the technical breakdown. The new leader achieves its performance advantage through a combination of next-generation interconnects and a memory architecture that reduces the latency penalty for cross-node communication. The specific performance numbers are striking. The top system is now operating at a scale that would have represented the entire top 500 list combined roughly 15 years ago.
What I find interesting about the supercomputer story from a geopolitical angle is the nationality question. The top 500 has historically been a proxy competition between the United States, Japan, China, and occasionally European entrants. The current number one's country of origin matters for export control policy, for research collaboration agreements, and for the ongoing debate about whether Western export restrictions on advanced chips are actually slowing Chinese supercomputing development or just making it less visible on public lists. The HN community is wrestling with exactly that question.
The NUMA story, non-uniform memory access, is a beautiful piece of technical writing that explains something most software developers interact with constantly but rarely understand. The core concept is that in modern multi-socket and multi-core systems, memory isn't equidistant from all processors. A core on one socket may take 50 to 100 nanoseconds longer to access memory physically connected to a different socket. At the speeds modern processors operate, that latency difference is significant. The Adara post walks through why NUMA topology matters for workloads like databases, virtualization, and high-throughput networking.
And why does this matter practically? Because cloud providers sell you virtual machines that may or may not have NUMA-aware scheduling. And if your workload is sensitive to memory access latency, which many database and real-time analytics workloads are, you may be paying for capacity that you're not actually utilizing efficiently. This is the kind of architectural knowledge that separates engineers who understand why their system is slow from engineers who just add more RAM and hope.
Apple's ACF, the sparse image format, is another deep dive that surfaced today. The author reverse-engineered the format, which Apple uses internally for disk images that are sparsely populated. What makes this interesting is the level of forensic detail. The post traces the magic bytes, the header structure, the metadata encoding. This kind of work is valuable for security researchers and for anyone doing forensic analysis of Apple devices. Because understanding proprietary formats is often the difference between being able to recover or analyze data and hitting a dead end.
The Limo Yilung story fits here too. This is someone running OpenBSD on a Chinese MIPS architecture laptop from around 2009. The dragons in the title are a reference to MIPS architecture quirks that OpenBSD had to work around. What's remarkable about this story isn't the hardware itself, it's that the open source software ecosystem has preserved enough portability that you can still boot a modern operating system on 15-year-old hardware with a non-mainstream CPU architecture. That's an underappreciated engineering achievement.
Cloudflare found a bug in the Hyper HTTP library, which is notable because Hyper is one of Rust's most widely used HTTP implementations. It's the foundation for Request, for parts of Curl's Rust bindings, and for a significant chunk of the Rust web ecosystem. The bug involves specific edge cases in HTTP response handling under certain connection state transitions. Cloudflare disclosed it responsibly and the Hyper team patched it quickly, which is the success story of modern open source security response. But it's a reminder that even carefully written Rust code in a memory safe language can have protocol level logic bugs that the type system doesn't catch.
The LibrePods project is the one that generated the most enthusiasm in the HN comments among the hardware stories, over 140 comments. Someone has reverse-engineered the Apple AirPods protocol and released a library that allows you to use AirPods with non-Apple devices and get most of the proprietary features: ear detection, noise cancellation control, battery status in the system UI, head gesture recognition. The project is called LibrePods, and it's on GitHub. The HN community loves this kind of thing because it's simultaneously a technical achievement and a statement about device ownership.
The AirPods case is actually a clean example of how proprietary protocols create platform lock-in at the hardware level. You buy a $250 pair of headphones that technically work via Bluetooth on any device, but the advanced features only work with Apple's stack. LibrePods is arguing, through code, that users who own the hardware should have access to the full feature set regardless of what OS they're running. Apple will likely respond with firmware updates that break the reverse-engineered implementation periodically, and then LibrePods will update their code, and this will continue indefinitely, which is basically how all third-party compatibility projects with Apple hardware work.